The dance is always danced above the hollow place, above the terrible abyss. The duets which you just saw with their underlying metaphor of cradling also came from a passage in choreographer Bill T. Jones's autobiography. In it, he says to his lover Arnie Zane, as Arnie is dying from AIDS, that it seemed to him Arnie had always known there would be a time when their lovemaking would be your thin hand, so transparent, so tired of needles and medicine, against my face. Death is part of life. Our society often encourages us to hide from it or to dismiss it, but death is there. I currently serve as an interfaith chaplain at Hopkins, and I completed my first year of residency at the Hospital of the University of California in San Francisco. Entering patients' rooms, those sacred places where pain and healing meet, I become acutely aware of how people interact with death that is lingering or in shock. A couple slowly saying farewell after 60 years of marriage. A wife begging a suddenly comatose husband to hold on long enough for the children to come and say goodbye. A young girl and her two divorced parents working through their feelings dealing with her malignant tumor. The hospital holds healing too, and sometimes that healing in emotions and relationships happens even when the body is falling apart. For those you use and people of other faiths who believe in an afterlife or reincarnation, these beliefs can provide support and strength, a strength and support those of us you use who don't believe in them sometimes fail to recognize. I remember praying with a family just after their oldest son died. Somewhere in his mid-20s, he had died from cancer, surrounded by his parents and his siblings, some still in high school. I witnessed the comfort they found in the midst of their grief as I read them scripture about how God's house contains many rooms and that whosoever believes in the Son will have eternal life. For them, their son was now in a better place and they would meet him again. A congregant once told me that she sometimes envied those who believed in heaven. She thought it would be easier to face death if you thought it was simply a transition to another life. I think it probably is, but I also know such a belief can't be forced, and so I end up wondering with her, where does that leave those of us who do not believe in an afterlife? Somehow, we need to find an answer in this life. Somehow, we need to find faith in the very act of living. To believe that this dance, no matter how short or awkward or painful, that this dance matters. Even one human lifetime can seem insignificant when placed in comparison with all the lives on the planet or the length of the life of a star. But this one lifetime is what we have. And for each other, we help provide meaning by bearing witness and by our relationships. The interweaving dance of leading and following, supporting and being supported, holding on and letting go. The readings today, both ancient and modern, speak to this perspective on the mysteries of life and death. That life and death are interconnected, part of one whole. that the value of each life is in its being, that this life is. In the words of Le Guin, this is and thou art. That the very fact a life does not go on forever makes it all the more precious. And finally, that our recognition of that existence and its limitation is, as the wizard put it, our torment and our treasure and our humanity. For Lao Tzu, Tao, or the way, includes all things and is also the process of change. Tao is the origin of opposite pairs, while at the same time including them both. The pairs are not opposite and separate, but opposite and in relationship. Being and non-being produce each other. Difficult and easy complete each other. Long and short contrast each other. So too with life and death. They complete each other and create a cycle from one to the other. The sage, the one who is wise, does not turn away from things as they arise. He creates them, but does not hold on. Another Taoist writer, Zhang Zi, talks about the length of life, about what is short and what is long, a human life compared to a mayfly, a human life compared to an 8,000-year-old tree. Yet within each perspective, that being's life is a lifetime. And even for those who believe in heaven or in reincarnation, this life may offer a unique opportunity for experience and relationship. I served my first summer as a chaplain intern 5 years ago, with the accompanying interactions with families and patients dealing with death. And afterwards, I wondered if losing someone close to me, someone I loved dearly, would change my beliefs, if I would begin to believe in an afterlife out of the unbearable pain of losing someone. That autumn, my sister Amy died when she fell rock climbing. An expert climber, she had climbed with her husbands in the Sierras, in the Rockies, even in the Andes. The two had taught other people safety and were known for their safety practices. But one day, the factors coincided that the safety measures did not succeed, and she fell and died immediately. In the shock and the grief that followed the news, I turned most to those I love, to my husband, to my family, to the friend who knew me from second grade, to the dancers in my company, and to my congregation. When I turned to books, I turned to those for today's readings. Even in the midst of my grief and pain, the sobbing and the questioning, it made no sense to me that this was somehow the result of a divine plan, or that much as I wanted to, I would ever see Amy again. Some of my dancer friends like to say that everything happens for a reason, but I cannot find a reason for Amy's death in the way the dancers mean it, let alone have answers for a family with whom I sat on the labor and delivery unit one afternoon. The father sat on the bed. The mother first nursed the baby and then placed it in a bassinet. She had had a cesarean so that she wouldn't go into labor during her 2-year-old's funeral, who had died in an accident a couple days before. Questions poured out of the father. He carefully avoided blaming the mother who had been nearby during the accident, but he desperately tried to find someone or something to be responsible for this death. I was no wise one, I had no reasons why, no answers to give. Birth and death were meeting in one room. The newborn in the bassinet, his brother's picture on the windowsill, waiting for the viewing that evening. I could only allow my heart to open in echoing pain, to share a time of common humanity, and to bear witness for their grief. Our imperfections and our pain and how we respond to them are part of who we are, as well as our joy and our love. I found I could not imagine Amy in some sort of eternal heaven because I couldn't imagine her without risk. She, the rock climber, the excitement she gained from it, nor could I imagine her without her work as a healer, as a physician. She had said that she needed a way to relax that was as intense as her work with her patients. A fellow climber in the memorial to Amy wrote, "I love that climbing is complicated enough to completely absorb my thoughts and focus them on that moment, because facing death helps me decide to live." For this dancer before you, the muscle memories of this body, its scars, its aches, its strengths, and its weaknesses, as well as my memories and dreams, all come together as part of who I am, even as who that is continues to change. I do not know how I would continue to be me without that lived and embodied history. To say that death is part of life and that one requires the other is not to deny our pain and grief from loss. The pain and grief we experience from loss is real. Grief is itself a word holding many feelings: sorrow, love, anger, numbness, despair, and sometimes hope and laughter, all of our responses to loss. As the young man Aaron in Le Guin's book tells the wizard, "I've learned that death exists and that I am to die, but I haven't learned to rejoice in the matter, to welcome my death or yours. If I love life, shall I not hate the end of it?" And the wizard responds that it's natural to wish that you and the ones you care for live forever. But that wish fulfilled would not really be what we want it to be. That life without death, life unchanging, everlasting, is nothing but death, death without rebirth. The wizard's answer is to accept, not in the sense of giving up, but in Lao Tzu's sense of not turning away from things as they arise. The feeling of grief, the feeling of love, the embodied experience of our living is our humanity. To push away these experiences is to push away who we are. Opening to them allows us to value our relationships, both as it happens and for having been. As the journey continues, the wizard and Aaron walk through hills covered with dry grass and almost no wildlife. After slogging through a long day, Aaron declares the land is dead. And the wizard, struggling for words, declares it's not. "Look at this land. Look at the hills, the mortal hills. They do not endure forever. The hills with the living grass, the streams of water running, in all the world, in all the worlds, in all of time, there is no other like each of those streams. Each spring, each blade of grass is unique to its moment of time and context. The dance of each person's life, though paralleling others in so many ways, is his or her own. We do not always recognize the wonder of it, of other lives or of our own, but sometimes the awareness opens. As they walk on, Aaron sees the world now with his companion's eyes and sees the living splendor that was revealed about them in the silent, desolate land, as if by a power surpassing any enchantment. In every blade of grass, in every shadow, and every spring. So when one stands on a cherished place for the last time before a voyage of no return, he sees it all whole and real and dear as he has never seen it before and never will see it again. There is both a fragile beauty to the present and an inner strength in our relationships. We flow in and out of each other's dances from a passing glance to a partnership of years, trying to hold a relationship in one place to prevent change would be to stop the dance. This is not an easy answer to an envy of a belief in heaven, but it is one that can be sustaining. There is wonder in the very dance of being.